As we come to our scripture reading for today and that time in our service when we come to reflect and meditate upon God's word, I want to set the tone a bit before we come to our scripture reading. As you may notice that I'm wearing a red tie and we have red before us, which is the color that we use on special occasions, and in particular with Pentecost. It's a reminder for us of fire and spirit and the cleansing that comes with the gift of the Holy Spirit. In thinking about this, before we get into our scripture reading, I was reminded that when I was ordained in the Lutheran Church, I was given a red stole. A red stole was put on me. And the stole was a symbol, or is a symbol, of being yoked to Christ, of being a servant of Christ. And it's a red one, and this is that stole that I was given on that ordination. And I've actually worn it enough that you can see the chains broken. But it is a reminder, the red is a reminder with the cross of Christ, that God's Spirit moves in and through our lives. And it's with that in mind that we come to our reading for the gospel, from the Gospel of St. John, the 19th chapter, or the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 23. If you're able at home, because we are back in our sanctuary, please stand for the reading of the gospel. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we come to this time to reflect upon your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we come to Pentecost, as we come to that time where the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples, the apostles, to the people of God, I'm reminded that that was a time of change as well. It was a time of transition. It was a time of the new normal for them, and as well as it is for us. We use words like that, change, transition, and the new normal, to try to understand and comprehend the circumstances in which we are currently living. Circumstances in which we're staying at home, or wearing masks in public, or keeping a distance of one fathom from one another. Okay, 6 feet. 6 feet from each other. Respecting one another's space as we try to figure out the situation in which we live. It's also changed the way we live and how we come and go in our lives. And as we do this, as in change happens with a lot of people, what happens? Some adapt real easy, others do not, and some are knocked down and we have to help them to get back up from the situations that they're in. I'm reminded, and I've shared with you in the past, I believe, a little book that I return to frequently when I deal with change, and it's the business book, Who Moved My Cheese? And I think we are in a season of our cheese being moved. But in that story, there are four characters. There are two mice known as Sniff and Scurry, who always go around sniffing and scurrying, trying to find their cheese. And there are two little people, Hem and Haw, who go around trying to find the cheese as well, try to use their own intellectual abilities to find the cheese where it has been moved. I like the story because it reminds me that we have to constantly be moving and scurrying and hemming and hawing about life and change and where we're at. But we do it with the support of one another. You do not do it on your own. You notice in this parable, if you pick it up and you read it, Sniff and Scurry are two mice. They sniff and scurry together. Hem and Haw are two little people, and they work together. It's not alone. We do not do this alone, even though we may feel that we're alone during this time, and how it impacts us and how we respond to the changes in our life. Our scripture readings this morning from Acts and John talk about the apostles and the disciples and how their cheese had been moved. Now you think about it, well, why didn't, if you go to the Gospel of John, why didn't the disciples know what was going on? We know what's going on. We saw what was happening. Why didn't they see what was happening? Well, how many of us who are living in the moment actually see what's taking place? How many times we have to ask other people, am I missing something? Or somebody tells you, you really missed that. You're not fully comprehending what's going on. We do it together. And so did they at that time as their lives were changed. And then as their lives were changed and as our lives are changed, sometimes we have to hit the pause button. Now, no, I'm not going to ask our tech team to pause the sermon. We could, but I don't think that would work so well. So we have to pause the time in which we're at. We have to take a step back, or we have to regather ourselves, or we have to rethink to where we are at. I mean, think about it. How did the apostles, the disciples in the early church push the pause button? If we look at the Gospel of John, they paused what was going on by doing what in our scripture reading? They went to a room and locked the doors. Together they locked the doors. It says, for the fear of the Jews, but also it was, what in the world is going on? We have heard earlier today that Christ has risen from the dead. But what in the world is going on? How do we understand what's taking place? How do we understand what he said came true? But as they hit that pause button, as they were trying to figure out the change and the new normal in their lives, something dramatic happened to them that evening. As they were behind closed doors, Jesus appeared to them. The doors were locked, and here is Christ. And how does Christ address them at that time? He tells them, peace be with you. Behind our locked doors, behind the changes, behind when we need to take pauses in our own lives, Christ comes to you and to me. And that's what we need to do. We might need to hit the pause button with everything that's going on in our lives and take into account on this Pentecost Sunday, this day of Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, where we are and what's going on and how to move forward. Because what we're really facing is a time of change and questions about who we are as human beings. What does it mean to be a human being in the midst of a pandemic? How do we respond to other human beings in the pandemic? How do we uplift and sustain one another as individuals and communities in particular of faith? This, I think, is what was going on in the early church as well. In Acts, they had to pause. They went behind closed doors and had to talk for a minute amongst themselves. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What is Jesus calling us to be at this time? Now, if you're like me, you struggle with this. You wrestle with it. It's not easy to take a look at it. And so that's why I offered up a 40-day challenge to read through the New Testament, beginning with Acts, and look at how the early church struggled with their new identity, struggled with what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to be human to one another. And I pray that you're doing that. The other thing that I'm doing as well during this time, as I struggle with it, as I try to hit the pause button, is on a regular basis or yearly, I try to read through all of Scripture once through. Well, this year I took up the challenge, even before we got the stay-at-home mandates, to read through Scripture three times this year. And believe it or not, I'm a little bit behind, but I've accomplished 1 1/3 readings of Scripture so far for the year in putting the pause on all that's going on. As we put that pause on, as we stop for a moment, it reorients us back to God. It makes life hopefully more, not simple in the midst of everything that's going on, but it calms our hearts and minds. It is, in my mind, functioning as Christ coming to us behind our locked doors and where we are. But as I've started to do this, as I've been working through all of this in my own life, I was reminded this past week of one of my favorite hymns. And it's the hymn that we sang today, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." And you go, well, Pastor, that's a wonderful hymn for a pastor to have as a favorite hymn. But what you need to know is the story behind that hymn and me. I'm reminded of that hymn because it was the summer after my third grade year, between third grade and fourth grade, that I was at Rainbow Trails Bible Camp in Colorado. I remember, as I think back, I can smell the pine needles and the pine trees as we sat on the deck of the Fellowship Lodge. And I can feel the warmth of that beautiful day, the sunshine coming through the trees, warming us. As we sat there that morning, and the pastor who's leading our small group Bible study and session comes to teach us this hymn. And I hear in my mind us singing and learning, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, with the smell of pine and the warmth of the sun. The body was regenerated, was renewed with life." Over the years, or more specifically recently, I've added that, the words of that, into a journal, a prayer journal that I keep, and I come to it and I pray those words frequently, bearing in mind that Edwin Hatch, who wrote the hymn, who was a scholar and a hymnist, was reflecting largely on our gospel text, and in particular John 20, 21 through 22, on how Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, comes to us behind the closed doors of our lives, the locked doors of our lives, and says to you and me, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I hear and I sing in my heart and my soul and my mind the words of "Breathe on me, breath of God." And as I do that, I feel Christ's presence, and I hear Christ saying to me, saying to you as well, "Peace be with you." It's in the midst of our challenges that we face today, our struggles of dealing with our new normal of COVID-19, of everything in our world, that God breathes life into me. God breathes life into you. God breathes life into us as a community of faith and as a people of God. As you think about "Breathe on me, breath of God," and you think about our reading from John chapter 20, think about also Genesis chapter 2:7. What happens in Genesis chapter 2:7? The Lord God formed man, formed humanity of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life comes through the Holy Spirit, comes to us not always in the open, but always comes to us with Christ being present in our lives through prayer, through Scripture reading, through gathering together for worship. Life is breathed into you and to me, and we are born new. The breath of God brings that new life. And with that new life, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are given a new normal. The apostles and the disciples had a new normal. With the Holy Spirit breathed into them, and if you go back and you read the book of Acts, you can see how that explodes throughout the land, the gospel, and telling of life being given. Jesus in John says, how is that life given? What's an example of that? If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. When you've done that with somebody, when you tell somebody they're forgiven, or you apologize, or you reconcile a difficult situation after an argument, what happens to your body? Not just your soul, but your physical being is renewed and given life. And that's what's breathed into us today, is the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter whether we're behind locked doors and we're living in changed times, or it's the way things used to be, Christ is with us and gives us the Holy Spirit. Now, given that Holy Spirit, we're given, there's risks that come with that, risks that we're called to go do, and risks that we see that the early apostles went and did. They went out, some of them, you hear about Peter and Paul and going out and proclaiming the word. Some people, that's what they're called to do. Others, it's done within their own families. Others, it's done within their workplaces. But you're filled with a new life to go out into the world. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, which has all sorts of risks. Risks such as to go forgive somebody has a risk to it. Or that first time you tell someone that you love them has huge risks because there's the fear of rejection. Or it might be that time that you've planned, you know you're going to get engaged and all that, but you're finally going to propose, somebody's going to propose. And you think you've got it all worked out, but there's still that hint, still that little tension there is, what if the other person says no? There's risks in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's risks that you and I endure together with it because we are called by Christ to be his followers, to be his word in the world today, to be out of our comfort zones and live and think differently as his followers. Now, what does that mean for us in a time of transition, a time of transition from what was to what is? Because we don't know what will be. We do not know what the road is ahead of us. But what we do know is whatever that road looks like or wherever we're going down that road is that Jesus Christ is with us, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not forgotten us. And we go down that road and we have challenging times that we're in on those roads. So what do we look at? What are the risks that are there? Well, we're in a time now in transition as a congregation, as a society as large, but even as a congregation. So I want you to focus on us as a congregation right now. What are the risks that we are facing as a congregation? Who is God calling us to be as God's people at the corner of Carlos and Gower? It is going to look different. We know that. But what does that mean? What is that going to look like for us in the future as we gather back together again? The risks that we face are risks maybe not so much as we think they are. And what I mean by that is when I think about risks, I think about something new. And normally it's something that gets bigger. But what if the new was to get smaller or more focused? Not necessarily small, but more focused. Years ago, I had a senior enlisted individual that worked for me, my primary assistant, and we were dealing with personnel matters on the ship, and we were taking in all sorts of people, trying to help them to move forward. But the efficiency of the department, the efficiency of the library in the area that I had to run on the ship was not what it should be. And he came to me and he said, well, sir, let me tell you something. Let me give you a piece of advice. Sometimes less is more. And that's what I'm asking you to think about the risks that we may have to take might result in less or more focused activity actually producing more for us. That's about our activities and how we do things in the world. To become more focused, more Christ-centered, God-centered. Not saying we're not there, but we go back to the center. We take that pause and we go back and we stay, let's get back to what we're here for. Let's focus on our worship. Let's focus on studying God's word. And as we do those things, that will inform us how we go out into the world. And that's our goal, is to live our lives filled with the Holy Spirit, listening to what God is calling us to do here. I do not know what it's going to look like. What I'm asking you to do, challenging you to do, that no matter where you're at in life, whether it's here at Hollywood Presbyterian on the corner of Carlos and Gower, or whether it's in your own family, or whether it's in your own job, or wherever you're at, to take a step back, take a look, assess the risks, listen to where God is calling you, and listen to what that call is. And understand that we're being called to think differently, but it's a new life. In the midst of everything that's going on, we have life. And that's what Pentecost is all about, is the life that we have is a life in the Spirit. And no matter where we've been or where we are or where we are going, God is with us. God bless. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.